This morning, God's Word comes to us from Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 15 of this chapter and then read through verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 15, Paul is speaking about Christ. What we hear now is God's Word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals as well, to page 16 in the back section. Page 16, this is Lord's Day 9, and you can see the heading above that, reading God the Father. This morning I will read question 26, and you may respond with the answer. From page 16 in the back of the Psalter, question 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth?
That the eternal Father, and the
Well, last week we began to look at that time-tested creed of the church, the Apostles' Creed, a creed which in a short 12 articles gives all the fundamentals, all the basics of the Christian faith. Every Christian believes the truth of the Apostles' Creed. We saw that that creed was structured along the order of the Trinity. God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our redemption, God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. And as we continue to look at the Heidelberg Catechism unfolding of that creed, we'll follow that structure as well. In the creed, there are, six articles dealing with the Son and our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. There is only one article dealing with God the Father. And it is important to begin there because the Father gives the undergirding to the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. Our confession of faith is that I believe God the Father Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And we saw last week how important it was to confess that personally. Not simply we believe, but I believe. And this morning we'll talk about the fatherhood of God. And again, the importance, not simply of making a general confession, we believe in God's fatherhood, but I believe He is my Father. Now, the Colossians 1 text may seem like a strange text to use to talk about God the Father. It is classically used as a text to highlight the work of the Son. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It highlights the glories of Jesus Christ. And yet, by looking at who Christ is, we see a clearer picture of who the Father is. Jesus is the one who reveals the Father and His work to us. And so by looking at the Colossians 1 text and seeing what Christ has done, we get a better picture of who the Father is, the one who sent Christ to accomplish His particular work. The fathership of God in relation to the sonship of Jesus Christ. And the first thing we notice is that God is the Father of Christ. He is the Father over the firstborn of all creation. Verse 15, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. If Christ is the firstborn, that gives God His fatherhood. And God has always been the Father of Christ. He is the eternal Father of Jesus Christ. We recognize in our lives there are times when we are fathers and we are not fathers. There was a time I was not a father. And now there is a time that I am a father. God has always been the Father of Jesus Christ. His fatherhood is eternal. Now, we celebrate Christ coming into the world at a particular time. But when Jesus was born, children, that's not when God became a father. He has always been the Father of Jesus. That's something of a mystery to us. How could that be? How could God eternally be Father? But yet it is His very nature. It is His very character. God is the Father of Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Christ, verse 17, tells us, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is before time, before all things. God the Father is before time and before all things. He has continually exercised His loving care toward His Son for all eternity. And yet this relationship is revealed to us at a particular time. The relationship is revealed to us in the incarnation. Here, when we see Christ coming, and as we talked about last time in the baptism, God saying, "This is my beloved Son." Here, God chooses to reveal Himself and reveal that Father-Son relationship to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father. John says, no one has seen God the Father except the one and only Jesus Christ, His Son, who reveals Him to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, as the author begins there, we read about Jesus Christ, verse 3, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. By looking at the Son, we see something of the Father. By looking at the Son, we see that reflection of His image. We even see that in our own families. When a child is born, we say, who does he look like? Who does she look like?
what side of the family do they resemble?
Christ, the Son of God, looks like His Father. And in looking at Him, in His works, in His care for His disciples, for the crowds around Him, we see a picture of that love and care of God's fatherhood. We can think of God the Father as someone far back and far off from us. But we look at Christ and see what He has done and know He is simply reflecting the look of God the Father. God is pleased to reveal Himself. Verse 19. For in Him, it is in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God's fullness dwelling in Christ His Son, that it could be revealed to us. If God had not sent the Son, if God had not sent Jesus, we would never see that relationship. It would stay eternally in heaven. But God wants to show Himself to us. He was not obligated to. He was not required to. But He says, I'm going to show you my love, my care, my concern. I'm going to show you my Son, the one who has eternally been my Son. And in Him and in that relationship, you will see something of who I am. God, I believe in God that He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them. God not only is Almighty Father of Christ, but He is the Almighty Father of creation. And here we have to be a little bit careful when we talk about God being the Father over creation. Because there are those who say, when we say that God is Father over creation, what we mean is God is the first created thing. And from this first created thing, all other things flow. The New Age doctrines of God being in creation and God being in the rocks and in the trees and in all these things. We say God created these things. And He reveals something of His glory, but God is distinct from His creation. There are some that say that we are like God, He is like us, only He is more. And they lose the creator-creature distinction. So when we talk about God being the Almighty Father of creation, the one who out of nothing created all things, we still recognize Him as distinct, as different, as other than we are. God the Father, Almighty Father of His creation, the one who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them. And God created all these things through the work of His Son. Verse 16. For by Him, that is by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. God works through the instrumentality of His Son, but creation gives glory to God and reflects His glory and His power. It reflects something of His care and concern for His creation. That He made it so beautifully, so intricately, and that He watches over and cares for it. Now next week, Lord willing, we'll talk more about God's providence and His care. But we notice today, He is concerned about creation. He is not a God who creates and is far off. But He takes care of what He has made. When I was growing up, my older brothers and I would sometimes make models, plastic models. I don't know if kids make models anymore, but we used to make plastic models. My older brothers were better at it than I was, but I tried my best to make models. And we would make these cars or whatever it was, and then we would be very careful to set them on a shelf and take very good care of them. We'd watch them, make sure that nothing would bump them off. We were concerned about what we had made. How much more God is concerned for what He has made. He created heavens and earth and everything they contain for His own glory and for His own enjoyment.
heavens and earth and us exist to enjoy the glories of God and to have Him enjoy us. A special creation, cared for, watched over, taken care of. Creation reveals something of the glory of God. We think of Psalm 19 speaks that type of words. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they pour forth knowledge. There's no speech or language where His voice is not heard. The revelation goes everywhere. Everyone can see the glory of God revealed in creation. God's power. God's majesty. For He has created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. The angelic world created by God. Now, we don't know much about angels. There are a few descriptions of angels in the Scriptures. And the seraphim, glorious beings with six wings, and they're glorious and radiant. And God created them. As glorious as they are described, how much more is He, the creator of this creature? He is the Almighty Father of creation, making all things. Verse 16, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Created for our God to enjoy, to have a relationship with. God not only created His beings, but He also recreated them. Man, through his own sinfulness, broke the relationship with God their Father. Man, through his own sinful choices, did not want to listen to his Father, but wanted to go his own way. Oh, how familiar that sounds to us. Maybe, children, you have that sometimes. You don't want to listen to mom and dad. And then you choose to go your own way, and the relationship gets broken. And there has to be a reconciliation. Things must come together again for you to be in a good relationship with mom and dad. God does the same thing for us. He creates us, and He recreates us. Verse 20. And through Him, that is through Christ, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by His blood of His cross. God reconciling all things through His Son. The creation needed to be reconciled. Fallen man needed to be brought back into a loving and living relationship with God. And God the Father would accomplish that. God the Father would be the one who would send His Son, His eternal Son, the one whom He loved. He would send Him to earth to reveal who God was and to reveal the restoration of that relationship, that we might be reconciled to God through His blood of His cross, making peace with God. No longer at enmity, no longer enemies of God, but recreated after His image. God reconciling the world to Himself. What a blessing for us that we have a loving God and Father, the eternal Father of Christ, but a Father who is concerned about us. He formed us, He created us, He called us to live with Him. And when that relationship was broken, God did not say, well, I'll just start over again. But God would send His eternal Son to reconcile us, to make peace between God and man. The power of God, the glory of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. And this great God, this one who has eternally been Father, this one who is the great Creator, this one who is the reconciler, this great God and Father is our Father. That's the beauty of the confession. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Our confession says, what do you mean by that? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then it describes who He is. These are clauses that describe Him. Who out of nothing created heaven and earth, who still upholds and rules them. I believe the eternal Father, Lord Jesus Christ, is my God and Father. That's the heart of the confession. We cannot lose sight of the fact that in spite of God's greatness, His glory, His eternality, and even His mystery to us, this God, this Father, is my God. My Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty. That's why Paul says in verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. God is not only great Creator, Eternal Father, He is the faithful Father of His people. He is my God. He is my Father. We who were alienated, broken relationship. We who were hostile in mind, not wanting to follow the will of our Father. Strong and self-willed children, wanting to go our own way. We have been reconciled. We were doing evil deeds, choosing to go our own way. We didn't act like loving children of God. You know, we want our children to be obedient to us. We want them to follow our instructions. We want them to do what we ask them to. God is the same with us. He calls us as His children and desires us to do what He asks us to do. We as parents never ask our children to do something that we know will hurt them, that we know will damage them. But we tell our children, do it this way. It's the way of safety. It's the way of peace. It's the way of life. God is the same way with us. He never asks of us that which will ultimately hurt us. But He says, follow in my ways. It's the way of peace. It's the way of security. It's the way of life. Like a father, I'm concerned about you. Like a father, I'm caring for you. We, once alienated, we, hostile in mind, we, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. We who were enemies of God, reconciled. And it cost God the death of His only begotten Son. He said, He has reconciled you by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. God saved us for a purpose. In order that we might follow the ways of holiness, that we might walk in the ways of blamelessness, that we might be above reproach before Him. Your Father wants what's best for you. He wants you to walk in the ways that are pleasing. And so He instructs you and He teaches you. If, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. The call of the gospel to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow after God in obedience. And as we hear that call again this morning, we can be assured of God's care over us, of His concern for us, if we continue in that faith, stable, steadfast, unmoving, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Not to begin to put our hope in what we do, that if I live this way, then God will love me. No, the hope of the gospel is Christ has loved us because of God. And now we live that way. Now we respond in obedience to Him. Hold fast to that hope. Hold fast to the glories of the gospel. And as we do that, As we live like children of God, we begin to look like children of God. He is the faithful Father of His people. And just like our children begin to look like us when they're born, as they grow, they look more and more like us. When I go back and visit my parents in Linden, Washington, more and more I hear people say, "You look like your father. You sound like your father." And the older I get, the more I hear it. It should be the same with us and our Father in heaven. The more that we grow, the more that we mature in our faith, we look and we sound more like our Father. The one who has loved us, the one who has saved us, the one who has reconciled us, the one who would give up His Son for us. How do you look in comparison to your Father? Do you see that there is growth in your walk with the Lord? That you look more like God today than you looked last week, or last month, or last year? As we get older, we look like our human fathers. The same should be true for our Heavenly Father. Who do you look like? Do you look the same as you did 10 years ago in your walk with the Lord? Or are you advancing with Him as He, by the power of His Spirit, continues to work in you? God is a Father. That's not our confession. God is my Father. So the question facing all of us this morning: do you know this Father? Do you know Him not simply as the eternal Father of Christ, not simply as the Almighty Father of creation, but do you know Him as your Father because of Christ the Son? And if you know Him, if you know you have been made His child, what are you doing to look more like your Father? Oh, may God help us to continue to grow in grace day by day, that we might reflect His glory, even as the Son reveals the Father to us, that we might reveal the Father to others. Let's join together in prayer. Father God, we praise You for who You are. We praise You for Your greatness. We praise You for Your power. We praise You for Your glory. And we praise You for being an eternal Father. And thank You, O God, for not leaving us in our fallen, sinful condition, but for reconciling us to Yourself by Your Son, that we might be Your children. Forgive us, O God, when we choose not to listen to You, our Father, when we choose to go our own ways. Help us more and more to grow in our love for You and our devotion for You. Help us to look like You as we continue to live and walk in our spiritual life. Oh, strengthen us, O God. We are weak and we are frail. We often fall short. And yet You are powerful, and by Your Spirit, encourage and strengthen us. May that be the case today as we seek to serve You. Hear our prayer for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.